All right, time to find out all of the happenings in the world of travel. Of course, we do that with our travel expert, our travel guide, our travel guru, Sally Lucas. Have I missed anything out there? Anything else you want to add?
No, that's enough, thanks.
That's enough?
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
It is a lot of pressure you're putting on me today, and that's not fair.
But the good news is, though, and a little bit later today, you'll be sharing that pressure a little bit while you're off gallivanting the world, finding some more travel destinations. You'll be introducing one of your, I want to say replacements, that's the wrong word. But
one of my work colleagues.
Colleagues.
Who will be assisting in doing this program while I'm away.
All right, sounds good. And some of the topics that we'll be covering this afternoon are
business class air, understanding what's on Smart Traveller or DFAT, and visiting islands that mightn't be quite as busy, where you can just relax and enjoy.
That sounds pretty good. Business class, though. I mean, are we doing first class travel?
I have gone first class once.
All right, come back. Maybe on this holiday, maybe not. Good times, great music, and talking travel with our travel guide, our travel guru, our specialist, Sally Lucas. And Sally, let's have a look at business class travel. There's been some changes. Is it Cathay Pacific?
Yeah, Cathay Pacific. I mean, they've always been an excellent airline to fly with, but and their business class has been pretty good, but they've just done an upgrade. So I just thought we'd talk about it because it's always worth knowing. Oh, if I get the right piece of paper, Mark, it would help.
You're thinking the one with business class is not the page you're looking at.
No, I've got the right one now.
and you want to be flying up the front of the plane. Come on.
Now, they've got a new fancy new seats and a dedicated cabin that delivers a really premium experience, they're saying. This is by the journalist who wrote this. It feels more business light than economy plus. So there's 48 seats in a 242 configuration. He said the seats are well padded, quite wide, good pitch and a deep recline, which is great. And they've got other features like a power source, two USB ports, side pocket seat storage, plush pillow, thick blanket, headrest with side wings for added privacy, an amenity kit. It's got its own toilets, etc., which is always a plus. Food and wine, again, very good. They said the meals could not fault the meals, which is great. Get offered a glass of Prosecco on boarding, which is quite nice. A couple of Australian whites and reds with your meal to get you through the night. Anyway, just to sum it up, he said it was outstanding. It had its own dedicated cabin manager who was ever present throughout the whole flight. It was from Sydney to Hong Kong, of course, as you may have gathered. The crew were very cheerful. The cabin manager, his name was Vincent, by the way, checked in with each passenger a few times through the flight in case anything was needed.
G'day, Vinny.
Hey, Vinny, yeah. So in a nutshell, the particular journalist said that this was a complete, really good big step up from their old premium economy and felt more like, as I said, like almost like a form of business class. So that's just good to know that they've just done that. And the frequency of flights is 21 a week and it's about 9.5 hours flying time. And they're only 2 hours behind us. So it's good you don't get the jet lag like you do, you know, going to other areas. So same with you when you go to Japan, very similar time zone. So it's quite good.
Look, a couple of hours either side, it's not going to be too much of a problem for most.
No, you've still got a bit of an adjustment, but at least two is better than, you know, 11 or 15 or whatever.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I guess as well, I mean, these days everybody wants to sort of, I'm guessing there's a lot of in a competition, very competitive space in the premium economy business these days.
Yeah, look, definitely. And it's rare, even with that flight, he said there was no spare seats. So, you know, it is at a premium, and that's another word of premium. But yes, the seats become at a premium to purchase as well, because you do need to get in early if you're really wanting to take advantage. I think just the fact that you've got a dedicated cabin, your dedicated toilet, cabin manager, you know, it makes it seem like you're not on a big aircraft. So it feels very relaxed, and it really is good value for money if you can't afford business or first, but you want to step up from economy.
Yeah, that's a great look, but for those longer haul flights. Now, there are some things happening in the DFAT space.
Well, just to explain a little bit how it works, I thought, because everyone gets a bit worried with everything that's happening around the world and global conflicts, etc. So they offer general advice to assist us to make informed decisions about safety and security when you're overseas. So they actually have four travel advice levels. Now, level one just means exercise normal safety precautions, and that's green. Level two, exercise a high degree of caution, that's yellow. Level three, reconsider your need to travel, which is orange. And level four is do not travel, red. So these are reviewed annually or biannually. And of course, every time something happens in advance, of course, there'll be notifications upgrading what countries you should or should not visit or should avoid. And I think it's really important because you can't, if it says do not travel, you won't be able to get travel insurance.
Yeah, I was going to say the further up the chain, the hotter those colours get, the harder, the more insurance implications there are.
Yes, well, as I said, you won't even get it if you're going when it says do not travel. But, you know, it's, I think they should pay attention to this sort of information, because if you're well informed and you can be prepared, then you can make a decision about whether you should or should not travel. So I think it's always worth looking at the Smart Traveller, or which is run by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. So it's a good website to look at. They always err on the side of caution, naturally, you know. So even though it might say, oh, you know, we don't think you should go, that doesn't mean you shouldn't. But so long as you know you can get your insurance, and so long as you know from what you've read or perceived that you're not going to be putting yourself at risk, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, for sure. And the last thing you want to do, I mean, no one likes, you got the holiday all sorted to go and there's a warning change, but you've got to be a bit prudent with that as well. But obviously just do the research and make sure that you're being as safe as you can.
Exactly right. But yeah, always look at that. But again, you can always check with your travel agent, because they're always getting updates from the airlines and et cetera all the time as to, you know, what's happening, what's not happening, whether they've got flights that are being cancelled or not because of what's going on, or if there's unrest, you know. So I think just always keep in touch through DFAT or through your travel agent.
And keep in mind, your travel agent will be on top of all that as well.
Exactly.
Good times and great music at 2 Anywhere FM 103.7 as we continue. We're talking travel with our travel guide. Sally Lucas is here. And Sally, like you said, you'll be away in doing some investigations for us over the next, is it 1 month, 2 months?
2 months, yeah. Gee. Doing the big Nullarbor trip again.
Imagine how much things will have changed. You'll have so much to report back on.
And the Kimberley, so I'll be able to talk about that, doing a tour of the Kimberley, outback tour as well, plus visiting the Grandies, of course, and then doing a nice road trip. And yeah, no, it'll be great.
It all sounds very lovely, and it'll be, I'm guessing, mostly a little bit warm.
No, cold.
Won't be cold.
Yeah, Broken Hill, I think, was about 5 to 10 the other day, and that's one of our stops on the way.
All right. Well, you know what it is going in. And look, one of the people that actually be covering for you while away is one of your special colleagues, and Melissa Mayers. Thank Melissa. Mel, you prefer Mel, don't you?
I certainly do go by Mel, and that's what most of my customers in the store know me as well.
All right. So it's just getting that friendly vibe, isn't it? Now, ladies, you're going to sort of cover for us some of these islands that you may not get get the front page, but they don't have to go where all the people are.
No, that's exactly right. And we've been talking about this for a little while with Amanda as well, like when you're going to a country, I guess for the first time you go, you've got to do what the must-dos. But once you've been there once, you don't have to go back and keep doing it over and over again. You can go back and go to that beautiful country still, but choose a different area. So I'm sort of transferring that across to islands, the same like when you go to Thailand, for example, pick the first one. Phuket is as busy as, the beaches are busy, everything's busy, you know. The old days when Phuket first started, of course, it was laid back, but we're going back eons. You know, that's a long time ago. But now, like if you go to some of the others, like I know some of my friends have been to, like off the coast of Krabi, and Krabi's a great island as well. You've got Koh Lanta or Khao Lak. Now, these are beautiful islands and, you know, that you can get ferries to. You can, it's still adventure if you want adventure. You know, you can still do your beautiful swimming and snorkeling, but you're just getting away from the crowds. And I think that's, if you on a holiday, sometimes that's just what you want. You want to clear your head, get away, and you don't want to be involved in busyness, you know.
Well, there's nothing worse. I mean, you go somewhere because you want to enjoy the things that are there, and everybody else in the world seems to be. So I guess the trick is to try and get one of the places that are sort of on the way up to becoming the next.
So there's still a bit of getting there first.
Yeah, so there is still a little bit of civilization there, but you've still got the adventure and the lifestyle and less people.
Well, can you imagine what it was like when I first went to Bali in the 1970s?
That's the wild, wild west of
one hotel.
Wow.
One hotel and a few bungalows and no roads. You walked across lawn down to the beach, and Denpasar was this tiny little village.
So it's early travellers like you, Sally, that literally paved the way in Bali, you'd say.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe we get some of Sally's old Bali stories. Wouldn't that be nice? But look, Mel, before we came on, you were talking about another state of a country that it just jumps to mind in these conversations, and that is Hawaii. So everyone says Honolulu, but it don't have to go there either.
No, I think when it comes to Hawaii, it's really important to remember that it's made up of multiple islands. It's not just one particular. Honolulu is 100% where we fly into from Australia. You've got Kauai, you've got down into the Big Island where the volcanoes are. You can actually see active volcanoes while you're there. You can also go the road to Hana in Maui is supposed to be absolutely spectacular. There's so many options and places you can go outside of Waikiki and getting away from those really tourist hotspots.
And I suppose it's also fair to assume that a lot of those other island spots of a country, a spot like Hawaii, for example, they are not still the Wild West of Bali, like Sally would say. They're still very much up there. You still get all the mod cons.
Oh, definitely. You're still going to get your five-star resorts with all the facilities. It's just getting away from those bulky tourist areas where you're not feeling like you and your new 5,000 best friends are hanging out on.
Unless you're looking for 5,000 new best friends. But I'll tell you what, you ladies did mention something as well with Hawaii in particular about getting breakfast. Now, I had my wallet went into cardiac arrest when you were telling me this story.
And that was a true story. And I mean, the hotel is considered the Pink Palace or the Royal Hawaiian. It's I guess it's like Raffles to Singapore. You know, that is to Honolulu. But yes, exceptionally expensive rate for breakfast that I don't think any of us here would even be willing to even consider.
Now, you can't not drop the cost. I know it because I just can't say it. It just feels rude, but you can. You can. Go on.
Oh, $270 per person?
For breakfast. Now, I get it if you are a gazillionaire and you just go, yep, I'm happy to stay at this hotel. Yeah. I don't care. But that's virtually nobody. I mean, $270 per person per breakfast. This is not for the week. This is per day, right?
Yep.
What's in those pancakes?
Pearls,
gold,
gold. Yeah, gold leaf pancakes.
Gold leaf, gold flakes. Yeah.
So I guess this is an example of what you're all talking about. Is maybe you don't have to go to the places that are higher on the top of the bill. You can go find some other places where breakfast will be normal prices and you won't have your 5,000 new best friends.
Exactly right. And also, like, even with Italy, you think about Italy and the mainland is still beautiful and you've got islands of Italy as well, but like Capri is very, you know, busy, so you could avoid Capri. Having said that, though, I still think Sicily, even though a lot of people are going to Sicily, it's still such an interesting island. I don't think you could ever say you wouldn't go to Sicily. It's just got so much history and so much to do there. Talking about Australia, though, Whitsundays. Now, you don't always have to go to the Whitsundays. You know, that's going to be too busy for you. You don't want busy Hamilton Island and all that sort of thing. You know, you've got Fraser Island. You know, you've got Lord Howe and Norfolk Island. You've got Tasmania. It's an island and it's beautiful. You've got the Tiwi Islands. We've got the Torres Strait Islands. Like, we have got so many islands surrounding our own country. So you can choose to do lots of different things without, and you're going to learn a lot more too from history and culture for a lot of those islands that you will never find on a tourist island only. So there's a lot of difference, I think, when you visit some of these more outlying islands. And they're everywhere. Like, there's so many. Like, the Cook Islands, the same. You know, we just talked about Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands. French Polynesia, you know, you've got the Society Islands, the Tuamotos. You don't just have to do Papeete on the main island. You can do a beautiful cruise doing all these beautiful outlying islands where you can only get to by vessel. No other means. So there's so many places still in the world, even though we've become such a mad global mob of travellers, but there are lots of places you can still get to where life hasn't changed.
All right, just be careful when you're adding on that breakfast package. That's I think if you take nothing away from today, that's probably the thing. Good times, great music. And 2NUR FM 103.7. A little bit more of Talking Travel. Of course, Sally's here, and along with Mel, who I believe next week it's all you.
It is. Big shoes to fill, but we're going to give it a hot shot.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll be fine next week because, Sally, you're about to go. Once you leave here, you're pretty much on your trip. Are you packed?
Packed. I'm packed and ready to go, mate.
How early do you pack? If you're going tomorrow, when did you start?
I started laying things out on the bed, and this is normal for me, by the way, about a week out.
Okay.
And then I'll go the day before and go, yep, no, not too much. And then, of course, we're going into mixed climates, which I've done a couple of times now, stupid me. I've got to take two bags, one for the winter stuff. I don't put it all in one bag. And so I have my summer bag and my winter bag, because this is when you're driving, you can do this.
Yeah, right? That's true. You're driving, you can have as much as you like.
But like, they're small, they're not great big suitcases, but I don't want to be delving through all the summer stuff to find my winter stuff for the first part of the trip, and then for the other part be, you know what I mean?
So, two suitcases, one with a giant S on it, one with a W. Mel, same question. If you were leaving tomorrow, how early do you pack?
It depends on how organised
I
am,
see.
I guess.
Oh, look, she's getting out of that one.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I think usually I'm thinking about it a good couple of weeks beforehand. Right. So if I need to buy anything, I've got time to get it.
Okay, of course. Well, there we pretty much covered all bases there.
Yeah, exactly.
Some hot deals, Sally, to wrap us up.
One of your favourites. I had to bring it in for you today, Mark.
And they've gone to the top of the list.
Guess who it is?
It's our good friends at Hurdy Gruten.
It is.
And we must say, no affiliation. I don't know anything about them. I just love the name.
Yes, I know
you
do.
Love the name.
Anyway, they've got a bring a mate for 50% off, which expires soon, 19th of July. So you're still thinking of doing either the Northern Lights or even going in the summer months on selected 26 and 27 original and their signature voyages. Get in early. And that's not bad, is it? 50% off for your partner, so, or friend, or whatever the person is to you.
The person that's going on holidays with you. Yeah. They might be none of those things.
They might be none of those things. Now, also, we've got here some lovely holidays involving rail and cruising with Grand Princess. Now, these are for April next year. One is on the 13th of April, and you're cruising the rugged west coast of Australia from Fremantle, going all the way around, and then you're doing a rail trip on the GAN, and then the other one is also doing the GAN on the 17th of April, but you're doing more of a tropical cruise, which will go from the reverse. It's going from Adelaide up to Darwin and then around the east coast of Australia. So Willis Island, Cairns, etc., back down to Sydney. So they're really good, and they've got offers at the moment with discounted rates available, valid to 31 July or until sold out. Now, these are last-minute hot deals that will finish on the 31st of July again or until sold out. So in other words, companies often do this to top up where they've still got a few seats or vacancies left on their holidays. And this is on luxury Asian river cruises and Australian small group tours, as well as luxury Europe cruises, like your usual, 15-day Amsterdam, Budapest, but also the 8-day ones, Madrid to Porto, Zagreb to Dubrovnik, a 9-day and a 14-day as well. There's just limited departure dates on most of these, mainly around August and September this year. So two-for-one offers. Again, that's pretty good value for money. So if you're still thinking of doing a river cruise throughout Asia, small group tour in Australia, or a Europe river cruise. Again, very good value for money, two for one until sold out. Ponant, they've got at the moment a Darwin to Broome or vice versa departures between May and August 2027. They're 11 days, 10 nights. It'll either be on the Le Jacques Cartier or Le Soleil, and they're doing the wonderful, iconic Kimberley, which I just adore. And you can save up to $3,000 on suites. Again, that one is available until the 31st of August. And lastly but not leastly, we've got some wonderful river cruises in France, spectacular south of France, and Normandy and Gems of the Seine, both 11-day cruises. Now, you've still got the early bird offer available on these, where you can get an economy class flight credit up to $2,900 or business class credit of up to $4,500 on a select range of those cruises. But with these two France ones, they're also offering a bonus of a luxury hotel night's accommodation, either pre or post the cruise, as another little added carrot dangling in front of you. And also there's some similar lovely early bird deals available on the Portugal cruises of the unforgettable Douro and the Douro with Lisbon and Madrid. It's a 17-day, and because it's land and sea, and the 11 days just the cruise. No bonus nights on that with accommodation, but still with the early bird offer. But until 31st of August or until sold out. So I think that's about it.
All right,
for me.
That's lots of deals there. Sally, we'll catch you in a couple of months.
I know.
Grief.
I know. Doesn't that sound dreadful?
You got some more packing to do.
No, I'm done.
Done. All right.
I'm done.
I'd like to see the paperwork on that. And Mel, we'll catch you for Talking Travel next week. So
next week.
Any idea on where we'll be going?
Looking at going to Africa. I've just come back from East Africa, so we'll be spending a bit of time talking about that.
All right, so we're going to give you a bit of a bump for next week. All right, thank you very much, ladies. Talking Travel back next Tuesday after 1 here at 2 NURFM 103.7.